Now, today being the 23rd of March, 2025, we are looking at lesson number 9 in our series entitled Walking Wisely in a Foolish World. These lessons mainly are out of the book of Proverbs. And today we are looking at the wisdom. I'm going to say something. I hope you don't get mad about it. The wisdom of hard work. Amen. Work. Amen. The song we sang today, work, for the night is coming. We don't work to be saved, but we work for the Lord because we are saved. Amen. We work for the Lord, and we are servants of God. Our scripture text verse today, our lesson text verse, is from Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 9. And this is what it said. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, but he that giveth of his bread to the poor, for he giveth his bread to the poor. And I remember reading a story a long time ago, and I know the prices and the amounts of numbers and things like that have changed through the years in this story. But I wanted to read it to you. Do you ever get tired of work? You ever get tired working? All right. Lisa and I were working on some stuff last week and trying to get some stuff done for her business. She had a little display thing down here at the Ag Center. And, you know, we set her up for that. And we came back home. I sat down. I said, man, I am tired. But it's a good tired. Amen. Because we worked, and she was able to get some sales and things like that and get her name out there and let folks know she's there. But I want to read this story to you, and it said this. It said, for the last couple of years, I have been so tired and exhausted, and I've been blaming it on my lack of sleep and too much pressure on my job. But recently, I discovered the real reason. I'm tired all the time because I'm so overworked. The population of this country, and at this time you'll realize this, but the population of this country is 237 million, of which 104 million are retired. That leaves 133 million to do all the work. There are 85 million people in school, which now leaves 48 million to do all the work. Of this, there are 29 million employed by the federal government, now leaving only 19 million to do the work. $2.8 million are in the armed forces, which then leaves only 16 million to do the work. Take from that the total of 14.8 million people who work for the state and city governments, and that leaves 1.4 million to do the work. At any time, there are 188,000 people in hospitals, leaving 1.2 million people to do all the rest of the work. Statistics show that there are 1,211,998 people in prison. So that just leaves two people to do all the work. You and me. And there you are sitting at your computer reading this silly story. No wonder I'm so tired. It's a good little story. We laugh about it. But you know, the fact is, in today's world of free giveaways and things like that, it seems harder and harder to find people that want to work for a living. But you know what? The sad thing is, when God created man and put him in the garden there in the Garden of Eden, guess what God did to man? God gave him a job. God gave man a job to do. And that job was to keep and to take care of what God had provided for him to have dominion over. And you know, we read in the book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 4. We read this. The Bible said, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Amen? So if you look at me and you say, preacher, you're getting fat, I'm just going to tell you, I'm a hard worker. Amen. That's what it is. But listen, our lesson today is on the wisdom of hard work. The wisdom of hard work. And I hope it'll be a blessing. I hope you'll consider the great privilege that you and I have to be able to work, not only for a living, but to work for the Lord, to serve the Lord with gladness of heart, to go out and reach people with the message of the gospel that changes lives forever. It changes them forever. When I read that story again, I thought to myself, how much more should I, as a child of God, count it a privilege, a great honor to be able to work for the Savior? Listen, we have a job that even the angels in heaven cannot do. We've been saved by the wonderful grace of God. And now we have the opportunity to tell others about Christ. And that's what we need to be doing. Whether we realize it or not, when we work hard and we work diligently to, you know, with proper motives, okay, with the proper motivation, our work glorifies God. Our work glorifies God. It is a testimony. And in a sense, it's a fulfillment and satisfaction in our lives as well. But we are honoring the Lord when we serve Him wisely through hard work. Now, I want to share with you some things today that Solomon talked about. And Solomon made quite a few observations about the wisdom of hard work. And I want to share those with you today as we study through this lesson. Number one, I want you to see the initiation of work as it's observed in the Word of God. The initiation of work. Work is a God-given opportunity. Okay? Now, everybody likes to take vacation every now and then, okay? And I like to come home and just sit down and rest, put my feet up. When I come to the house, when I get in, Precious is always there at the door, and she sees me, and she wags half her body looking through the door as I'm pulling in the garage. And then she just disappears from the door. I can't see her in the glass door anymore. And when I get out of the car, sometimes Lisa will open the garage door. As I close the outside garage door, then she waits for that to close, and then she'll open the garage door that leads from the house to the garage. And Precious is the first one to greet me with a kiss, okay? All right? She's the first one. She brings a ball or a bone, and she's ready to lick me and jump in the car and look, Daddy, I'm here. I'm here. I'm greeting you and all this other stuff. All right? But the thing is this. When I come home, I want to be able to relax a little bit from being at work or being visiting and things like that. And Precious come up there. She's got her bone in her mouth. She sits at my feet at the chair. Like, okay, Daddy, raise the legs up on that thing because I'm going to sit on your lap today, okay? I want some you and me time, daddy dog time, okay? All right? And she'll sit there on my lap, and it's just fun just to play with her for a little while. But you know what? We have the privilege to work and then rejoice in the fact that God has given us that opportunity to really apply ourselves in the jobs that we have. And whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, we ought to do it with all our might. We ought to do it as unto the Lord, whatever we do. So I want you to see here, we ask ourselves, where in the world did the idea of work ever come from? Who developed this thing about work? Well, again, I told you earlier, God did this as early as the Garden of Eden. And God gave him a job to be able to do. The whole concept of work, though, seems like it has fallen upon deaf ears and hard times here lately. Many folks want the benefits of jobs. They want all the benefits and things, the money and the vacation time and all these things, but they don't want to do the work. And so we have to look at it today. You got two different extremes. The one extreme is that we help people and we promote the system that just gives to people and they don't do anything to earn it. And that's not good. That's not good for anybody. The other extreme is that we promote the idea of people becoming workaholics. And they don't ever stop working. They don't take time for family. They don't take time for God. They don't have time. All the money is their God. And so you got two different extremes, it seems like, in the world today. So which extreme should we choose today? That's the question. Well, the answer to that question can be traced back to the Bible. And it can be seen as far back as the book of beginnings, which is the book of Genesis. And God's word strikes the balance between not working and workaholic type stuff. God sets the balance. And he encourages us to work diligently, not obsessively. And he even encourages us to help those who are genuinely unable to work. All right? And the book of Proverbs serves as, it's sort of like the champion of the cause, okay, for hard work. And he commends the diligent while at the same time he confronts the sluggard and those that are simply too lazy to do the work. So let's, number one, let's look at God's example. God's example. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. Here, the Word of God says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And here, God set the pattern. God created, or in other words, God performed a mighty work. A mighty work. Here in this very first verse of the Bible, God sets the pace. He set the pace. He set the standard that without work, there is nothing. Now think about that a minute. Without work, there is nothing. All right? Now, here in the very first two chapters of God's Word, we see how that God sets the goal for man. And God not only works, but then he encourages man to work and to enjoy the beauty and the splendor of that work when that work exemplifies the dignity and worthiness that he has to give God the glory for that job he's got. We ought to take just the time to sit down and thank God. I love to mow my yard. Last year, Brother Bud used to come by and mow my yard for me when I had my hip surgery. And I couldn't do it. And I'd stand there and I'd watch him do that. And I said, man, I got to get back out there doing that again. And I loved it. When I was able to get back out and start mowing my yard, I wanted it mowed a certain way, okay? And I wanted to mow around this way and go down that way and cut down the weeds and all this other stuff. And then I'd come back, and when I'd take Precious or my wife out for a walk, not the same type of walk, but I mean, you know, just, we just go walking, okay, all right, outside, all right? Just enjoying our time together, okay? That's what we were doing. And I'd say, man, I don't know who mowed that yard, but boy, sure does look good, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? I enjoyed doing the work. And I praise God for Brother Bud that came over. He'd bring that big old tractor thing he's got. Man, he'd mow that yard and he'd get out there and get it done so quick. Mine is not quite that fast. You know, I can't get around with it like that. But you know what? I appreciated the work that he came and did. And you know what? God gave us these things. God set the example. And we can do this work and glorify the Lord God who gave us the opportunity to do our work. I want you to see that as God's example. But number two, I want you to see God's exhortation of work. God's creative work not only produced all that there is today, but he specifically produced mankind, Adam and Eve, as well as the Garden of Eden for him to work in. Now go over to Genesis chapter 2 just a moment. Genesis chapter 2. And I want you to look at verses 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now go down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now think about this just a moment. Even in God's perfect environment called the Garden of Eden, man was required to work for the glory of God. He was required to keep that which God had given unto him. And you know what? We need to do the same thing today. God has given us a life that we need to invest some time working for the one who gave it unto us. We need to glorify his name. God's idea of work was for Adam to labor and to become fruitful and productive. That was his intentions. And before man chose to disobey, God designed this earth to be submissive to the one to whom God had given dominion over all things. Now think about this. God gave man dominion over all the earth. He put him in charge of things. He gave him a job. God did not create Adam to just sit around and do nothing. Okay? All right? Sometimes we get the idea that we just want to sit around and do nothing. And there's not a problem taking a little vacation time, taking a respite time, and things like that. But man, there are times I'm just ready to go back, get back in the saddle again and just go do some things I need to get done. But God created an environment of work for him. And then God provided a time for him at the end of each day to spend with God, his Savior. And the fellowship with that one who had given him all these things and given him the privilege and given him the opportunity to be able to do the work that he did for him. And you know, before man sinned, God had made work an enjoyment, a pleasure. And the earth brought forth bountifully. It brought forth bountifully. But after sin, and after man chose to disobey God, the curse of sin was placed upon this earth. And guess what? Now man has to toil very hard. Farmers, man, have to toil and get out the weeds and get out the rocks and turn up the soil and all these other stuff just to be able to plant a garden, let alone to keep it going and to do the things that he's supposed to be able to do. And because of sin, the earth now would not yield its fruit abundantly as it did before sin. And now thorns and thistles. Brother Buck Bowers got me a pair of these gloves. It's got this heavy coating stuff on it. I was out trying to cut down pokeberry weeds and branches and all this other stuff. And man, they're just covered in these briars and stuff and these thorns and stuff. And the work gloves I had, every time I'd try to pull them out, those things would stick through there, stick me in the hands. And man, I'd be plucking them out, even with the gloves on. I'd have to pluck them out. And he got me a pair of gloves. I wish they were coated on both sides, all right? But, you know, that's a hint, brother, okay? Hint. But they're coated on that one side. When you pull them out, man, those thorns don't stick through there so bad. And man, that's a big help. But ever since sin came into the world, man, there's thorns, there's thistles, there's hard times. And the earth just does not yield its fruit abundantly like it did beforehand. And it causes men to dread working by the sweat of their brow. And yet, you know what? God's original plan and design for man to work did not change. He still gave us the privilege, the opportunity, the joy of being able to work and to provide with our own hands and work diligently and give God the glory for that. Now let's look at what God's Word tells us about work and how we ought to work, the attitude of our work. I want us to turn over to the book of Ephesians. We're going to get to Proverbs here in just a moment, okay? But I'm laying the groundwork for you, okay? And Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 1 through 4. When Lisa and I got married and we had children, we taught this verse to our children consistently, diligently. And it said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And we gave them the last part of that verse. It said, "For this is right." And you know what? When when they would do something wrong, we would ask them, now, is that right or is that wrong? And they'd hang their head and they'd say, it was wrong. And I said, well, let's determine we're going to do what's right. Let's make up our heart. Let's make up our mind to do what's right. But God starts with those children. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, we've read those first four verses. I want us now to compare that with the next four verses found in verses 5 through 8. Let's look at this. God laid a groundwork, and he started all out with the family. All right? That's God's priority, family. Now look at this. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God, where? From the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be free or bond or free. God here is trying to help us to see how, as the proper parent-child relationship brings honor and glory to God, so also the proper employee and employer relationship brings honor and glory to God. We need to honor those that we work for. We need to give them a good day's work. I remember when I worked in the public sector, we had some folks that would not show up for work on time. And we had a lot of people coming in, and they would meet there in the break room area, and then at the clock would ring. There would be a bell that would ring about 15 minutes before the start of the work hour, and that would let everybody know, hey, it's time to go to the bathroom, get your coffee thrown out, get ready for your job, and be ready to start at 8 o'clock. Well, there were people that didn't show up. So they had their friends clocking them in, and then they would slip in a little later and go to work like, boy, we've been here the whole time. Well, when we found that out, we made a new law, a new rule, okay? That if you got caught clocking someone else's time card, okay, if you got caught putting somebody's time card in the machine and they weren't here and you were doing that for them, then you got reprimanded. And if you got a reprimand, the next time you got suspension and then you got fired from the job. Because people wanted to show that they were working and they really weren't working. And folks, we need to have the right respect for our jobs. Listen, if the boss says be there at 8 o'clock, we ought to be there a little early and just show them that we're there early. We want to be there right. And you know, God is trying to show them here. In world talk today, these verses would say this. It'd say, employees, be obedient to them that are your bosses according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, with good work doing your work as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, let me ask you something today, child of God. Let me ask you, as a one born-again believer to another, does the way or the attitude in which you perform your job glorify God? Amen. Does it glorify God? Listen, we ought to want to glorify God in whatever we do. Now, some of you are retired, and God bless your heart. If you're retired, If you need anything to do, come see me, okay? All right? We got plenty of things to do, okay? But here's the thing. Listen. That job that God has given unto you, it was meant to bring honor to Him. And whatever you do with it, bring honor and glory to God. And not only do we see the initiation of work here in the Word of God, but we also see the integrity of work. The integrity. Integrity is something that many men lack today. I cannot help but remember the verse from Proverbs 22:1 that says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name. Solomon made this observation, and he wrote the book of Proverbs hundreds of years after, okay, Moses penned the words that God spoke to Adam. But Solomon noted that the generations had indeed been marked by man with hard work, with toil, with labor. And the Old Testament writings tell us of men such as Jacob, who worked hard for many years just to have Rachel as his wife. Now, you remember Laban deceived Jacob. You remember that? And gave him Rachel's sister as a wife. And he said, that's not the one I wanted. He said, well, if you want that one, you're going to have to work another 7 years for it. And Jacob loved Rachel so much that he did not count it a bad thing to work those 7 years to get the woman that he loved. And folks, we ought to work with that kind of an attitude. Listen, we read in God's Word how that Joseph worked hard. He worked diligently to preserve the nation of Egypt, okay, and all the surrounding nations around them so that they would be prepared for that 7 years of drought and famine that would come upon the land, and many would die from starvation. Later on, we read about how Moses not only toiled and labored to tend to his father Jethro's sheep, but how God was preparing him for an even harder work in delivering and then shepherding the children of Israel out of Egypt. I look back many times and I look at all the things I learned in those 16 years that I worked at that company. And I went from a production control clerk when I went there that basically meant you did whatever the boss said to do, okay? If it meant running errands, you ran errands. If when the secretary was out, you sat there and answered the phones and greeted people, that's what you did. You know, if I had to go and load or unload a box car that came in or a tractor trailer that came in, we did that. And you know what? I worked all the way up from that position as a production control clerk, making $2.76 an hour because I was experienced, okay? Minimum wage was $2.34 an hour at that time, and I got paid $2.76 because I was experienced. I had worked before that, all right? But I worked all the way up to vice president of operations in that company before I left. And I left because, not because of the money, goodness knows, the money was great. I did not like the politics of it all, but you know what? I had a higher calling, and that was to serve the Lord God and to love Him and give Him my devotion. And God wanted me full time. And I left that job and went to serving the Lord full time at the little church that we were at. And I went from being a vice president of operations to a minister of evangelism, and later on the bus director and the website master and servant, and did all the other stuff that I learned to do there. But it was preparation for what God wanted me to do. God was preparing me. He used those things. He taught me things so that I could be able to do what God wanted me to do now, even as I've been here these last 14 years. And I thank God for that. Now, I want you to see God's commendation of the diligent. How God commends those that work hard. Solomon explained that diligence is an integral part of one's sense of self-worth and their personal dignity in this life. And I want you to see this. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 27. Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 27. The Bible said, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. I see these guys that go out hunting, and they sit out in the cold morning hours looking like a tree. smelling like a deer and longing to get them something that they can drag back up through the woods, cut its guts out, drain it out, take the hide, and take that meat back and say, honey, what's for supper? Deer meat. Yeah, deer meat. And you know what? These guys work hard for that. And the Solomon knows here, he said, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Man, when you do that on your own, you raise a farm. You work on a farm and you raise those vegetables and those things. Man, you're excited about that because the work of your hands, you're eating of that at your table. And man, that makes a blessing. And Solomon here is showing there is a sense of self-satisfaction in doing a job well. Amen? And there are rewards for hard work. The substance of the diligent man is precious. Now, in a parable, Jesus spoke to the people. And he commended those servants who diligently worked at the task their masters had assigned them to do. I want you to look in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 21. Matthew, chapter 25, verse 21. Jesus said, his Lord saith unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know what? When I get to heaven and I'm standing before the Lord, you know what reward I want to receive? I want to receive the reward of hearing God say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You didn't take your job as a child of God without seriousness. You took it serious. You were sober-minded. You did what God said do. And man, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 4. Solomon observed something here. And he said, the soul of the sluggard desireth. In other words, he's always wanting, and he hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now here, Solomon describes a sense of fulfillment. He's describing that sense of well-being in the life of one who works hard and one that works diligently. And also note in this verse that God is not condoning greed, okay, as a motivation for work. That's not what he's doing here. But rather, God is showing us that there is a legitimate reward. There is a legitimate reward for those who work and labor diligently. They serve. And these rewards bolster a person's sense of self-worth. You know what? I'm thankful that I have the privilege to work and to serve the Lord. You ought to be thankful for the privilege that you have, for the job. Whatever you do, you need to do it well. You need to do it as unto the Lord. And many folks today, sad to say, many seek success as their goal without first being willing to work and labor to succeed. They want success to come before hard work. But the Bible is clear to point out that success is not the result of one's lineage. It's not the worth of your birth. It's not the result of your birthright. But it's the result. Success is the reward of hard work. That's what it is. Success is a reward of hard work. Man, when you get to retire, and you finally do get to go home and do all that stuff that your wife is wanting you to do, man. Okay? She's got a long list. Said, these are the things you're... And you think to yourself, why did I ever retire? All right? But you're thinking, man, I've worked hard. And now I have an opportunity to enjoy what I've done. God told Joshua something in Joshua chapter 1. And I want you to look at this. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. God said to Joshua, he said, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Then look down at verse 7. God said this. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What was God saying? God promised success to Joshua, but only after he performed the work that God had assigned unto him to do. And you know what? The only time that you'll find success before work is in the dictionary. Now you think about that. The only time that success comes before work is found in the dictionary. And that's why Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, he said, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Solomon here commends the work of the diligent, but he also condemns the work of the lazy. And next week, if you'll come back, I'll share that with you, okay? All right? I'll show you how God condemns laziness. Laziness. He condemns that. Let's pray just a minute. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have, not only to work a physical job and do things to earn a wage or a salary, but, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be able to serve you and to work for you and to tell others about you. Thank you, dear God, for the privilege that we have to tell others about what you have done for them and how that, Lord, you did the work that we could not ever do. You died, you sent your son Jesus to die upon the cross. And there, he performed the work for us to be able to have eternal life. And Lord, all we have to do is to believe and to receive, to make that gift ours. And Lord, I pray that today, Lord, if there's someone listening to the sound of my voice and does not know you as their Savior, God, they will realize what you have done for them, and they'll be thankful for that, and they'll fall upon their knees and humbly call upon you and ask you, Lord, to save their soul before it's eternally too late. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach to us. Help our hearts to be willing and ready to receive the Word of God. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class, all right?